Atheist Nomads, episode 169, Shaking Things Up.
Oh my.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
Lauren pulled a muscle in her neck and shoulder area, so she is not feeling well and is not joining us today. Or at least she might show up later, but she's at least not now. She finally found a position that's comfortable.
Positions, yes.
But yeah, we took a little bit of a break here recently. It was needed.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah. During this time period, we did talk about some changes to the show, and we are basically going to be scrapping the entire format and just kind of going with the flow.
Play it by ear?
Yeah.
Talk about stuff that's interesting to us.
Uh-huh.
Not always atheist, because, you know, we already know the Pope sucks. So, you know, kind of play with it a little bit, see what we got.
Yeah, we've basically done the same format for the entire time. I would say by the time I considered the show to be out of beta, so around episode 10, it was pretty settled from there till about episode 60 when we just split it in half.
Yeah, I mean, the format really hasn't ever changed. We just like split the show in half from 2.5 hours down to an hour-ish.
We've added one segment, we've split up segments, but yeah, it really hasn't been that much change. So rather than having segments, we're just going to talk. And this is gonna be,
go figure, podcast.
This is gonna be fun. With dusting off the degree, I don't want to necessarily stop doing that. Don't necessarily expect me to have something planned out for it every single episode. But if you want to make sure it happens, ask me questions. Mm. This is one of those opportunities where you, as an atheist, have somebody who actually has a degree in theology that is wanting to answer your questions about religion.
There you go. Fuck.
Yeah. So, yeah, ask me questions and I will happily answer them. Feedback is also something that might end up being not necessarily all in one chunk. It might still end up being. We'll see. We'll see how that all goes. But let's go ahead and start out with something close to my home, literally, since it was taking place at the Idaho State Capitol, just a couple, like 2 miles away.
You're that close. Wow. I did not know that.
That's because you haven't come visit me.
I know. I want to like taste all that awesome ethnic food out there.
Okay, Seattle has
we've
more.
We've been talking about food way too much already.
So. Yeah. Seattle has more ethnic food because there is more diversity, but we have a good spread from our refugee population. So yeah, we have some good ethnic food. But anyway, so what just recently was happening was, like we previously reported on a special legislative committee that Governor Butch Otter had called to look into the faith healing exemptions in Idaho's child welfare laws. This is something we've talked about before, especially in depth on episode 99, I believe it was, or somewhere in the 90s with Linda Martin. They finally finished up this session with a 2.5 hour hearing that mostly focused on parental rights. And in particular, parental rights to decide on medical treatments for their children. So, like, they had people talking about vaccination rules, too. That's not what we're talking about. This whole issue has not been to talk about vaccines. It was to talk about whether or not parents have an obligation. Well, whether or not the obligation that parents have to provide life-saving medical care for their children, or at least get them to life-saving medical care, and whether or not there is a religious exemption to that. Well, at the end, they decided that they had no recommendations to make and that they would not be issuing a report to the legislature.
Right. So they did nothing. Wow. Okay.
They talked for a few weeks or maybe months. They listened to people talk, but since they aren't even doing a report to the legislature, nothing that was said is of any importance. They're not going to be, they're not recommending any legislative changes.
Yeah, there is a little bit in this article saying a person named Kirtland Naylor, a Boise lawyer who chaired the governor's task force that actually urged the review of the faith healing exemptions in the first place, said removing the exemptions would not affect religious freedom and would save lives. I kind of think that's the biggest no-shit statement I've heard in a while, but yeah.
Well, what a big part of it is the belief of these, in particular here, it's the Followers of Christ is the name of the group. They believe that if their child dies because they rely on faith and prayer alone for healing, that their ticket is punched to go to heaven.
Sure. It's their time.
So it is their... their religious belief is that, yeah, they don't take their kids to the doctor.
Do they take them to the dentist?
No. Right. They will take them to the optometrist.
Huh. Well, you know, if that kid didn't get glasses and gets run over by a truck, then it's their time. So apparently they are fucking with God's will right there.
Well, see, like, my big thing is faith healers... okay, when it comes down to, say, the common cold, yeah, you don't need to see a doctor for that. If they want to wait longer before they take their child to the doctor, that's okay. But at the point that the kid has pneumonia and is actively dying, or if it's a kid that has diabetes and is dying... which both of those happen very commonly for this group. They're also kind of inbred, so they are getting a lot more type 1 diabetes now.
Right.
It's, they need to take the kids to the doctor. And if they wanted to refuse treatment for themselves as adults, that's fine. The sick and twisted thing is, this church doesn't necessarily do that. Some of the adults... do you go to the doctor?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't give a fuck if you're an adult and you don't want to take care of yourself and don't want to go to the doctor. Fine. Just pisses me the hell off when it's, you know, you're forcing your kids to be sick or not be well.
Yeah. And these are, like, what I saw, because I've been to their cemetery. It's unmarked. They don't want people going there, but we went ahead. A group of us went a few years back. I walked around and it looked like the century was wrong on the tombstones. Like those shouldn't have been 1995 and 2004.
Ooh.
With the majority of the tombs being days old, months old, a few years old. Most of the adults were women in their early 20s, presumably dying in childbirth. This is the 21st century. This is 2016. And they're just ignoring the last 100 years.
Pretty much. I mean, that is just so... oh, God. That is so fucked up that they just want to... They want to live in some previous century. Why they shouldn't even use technology. They need to get the fuck out of that and go live on like twigs and berries. Be hunter gatherers again. What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and also they, where it also gets, it's crazy. They will take their pets to the vet, and they'll have vets take care of their livestock.
Well, pets don't go to heaven, right?
No, they don't have souls. But they'll treat pets and livestock better than their own children.
Yeah, but, I mean, that ties into the whole pets don't have souls. So they're not going to heaven. So.
Exactly. Yeah. But still, It's ridiculous. And what's crazy here is the rules that are on the books are that, yeah, you have to take your kids to the doctor with that one exception. All we want is the exception to be removed. So it doesn't matter if you are failing to get your kid proper medical care, regardless of the reason, whether you're strung out on meth or on God, your kid dies, you go to prison. Or at least if your kid dies, it happens at the goddamn hospital.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? At least they went to the... Nah, fuck it. Goodness, that is fucked up, seriously.
Shit. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Come on, let's go to happier news.
Yes, so in August, Iris Fontana of the Satanic Temple gave the following invocation at the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. Let's listen to what she said.
We'll now have an invocation by Iris Fontana from the Satanic Temple. You may either remain standing or be seated. No one's required to participate. Please come forward.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. Let us stand now, unbowed and unfettered by arcane doctrines born of fearful minds in darkened times. Let us embrace the Luciferian impulse to eat of the tree of knowledge and dissipate our blissful and comforting delusions of old. Let us demand that individuals be judged for their concrete actions, not their fealty to arbitrary social norms and illusory categorizations. Let us reason our solutions with agnosticism in all things, holding fast only to that which is demonstrably true. Let us stand firm against any and all arbitrary authority that threatens the personal sovereignty of all or one. That which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared its demise. It is done. Hail Satan. Thank you.
Wow. That took brass buttons to get up there and say that in the first place.
Yeah. But, did you hear that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, the first thing I want to bring up that seemed kind of odd there. Okay, I absolutely loved what she said, especially the last part. But when she was introduced, the statement that the people in attendance were under no obligation to stand
part. But they don't give that during the Christian one.
I'm guessing they don't.
I'll bet you a buck.
And if they don't, ooh, that's bad. But anyway, the reason this is in the news now, because that was back in August, that's not news. They have changed the rules by a vote of 6-3 to only allow invocations from religious associations that, quote, with an established presence in the Kenai Peninsula borough that regularly meet for the primary purpose of sharing a religious perspective, or chaplains who may serve one or more of the fire departments, law enforcement agencies, hospitals, or other similar organizations in the borough.
Oh, God, I would love to see a satanic hospital. That would be awesome. the reason I call this a happy article is because, well, they're going to fucking lose really fucking quick, because there's no way this doesn't go to court.
Well, I see this going one of two ways, both of which are wins. One is it's a meaningless rule, and the Satanic Temple ends up qualifying because the primary purpose is sharing a religious perspective, and as long as they have an established presence, which even if they're just meeting up at a bar, that would count. Then it doesn't change anything.
I mean, what is it? Jesus said, so long as there's two of you meeting up, there's, you know, that's basically a church.
Yeah.
So fuck it. Counts for Satanists too.
I'm sure home churches would qualify.
Sure. There you go.
Especially in a place like the Kenai Peninsula borough. That's an area where there's not much population. I wouldn't be surprised if a number of the churches meet in people's homes.
I wouldn't be surprised if moose outnumber the people around them.
But the other way this could easily go is a lawsuit. Because if they are actively denying non-Christian or non-traditional religious points of view, then that is in violation of current legal standing and jurisprudence after the Greece versus Holloway ruling.
So, yeah, this is a win-win anyways. And all these people are on the council are doing is making themselves look like fucking idiots. Uh-huh. So, hooray, one city at a time.
Yeah.
Goodness. Or they could just fucking get rid of the prayer altogether.
That would be nice,
actually,
yeah.
Actually use, you know, city money for, well, city business.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's take a break, and then we'll be back with the rest.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
Three Kansas men calling themselves the Crusaders were arrested on federal charges of conspiring to use a weapon of mass destruction. This came after they were under FBI surveillance for 8 months and found to be plotting to attack an apartment complex and a mosque almost entirely comprised of Muslim immigrants from Somalia, and they were caught with stockpiled weapons, including explosives, guns, and ammo.
Motherfuckers. I actually hadn't heard about this before, you know, a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah. This was quite the plot.
Man, people are just, like, getting into bombing lately. What the hell? I mean, granted, there was that GOP headquarters that got bombed in California, I think.
North Carolina.
Really?
And the Democratic headquarters building in this, or office in the same town was also firebombed the same day.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. What is it with all these, you know, lovely patriots?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck.
It's... Well, and we've seen stuff like this. Yeah, it's all over. You know, we also had a couple stories just in the last couple of days here in Boise with the Black Lives Matter float for the Boise State University homecoming game being vandalized the night before the parade.
Fuck.
And three black people, probably of Somali descent or Somali immigrants in Boise, held up at knife point.
God, I mean, America used to be, like, you know, welcoming to immigrants. That's kind of our thing. Used to be all the time. Now we're such xenophobic fucking pricks.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Well, it would be easy to just say it's Trump.
Nah,
but I mean, it's not.
He's putting a voice to it, but he's definitely making it more acceptable. I think, but. I mean, no, that shit's been here forever.
Yeah, the what they're calling themselves now is the alt-right movement.
Mm.
And but they're not anything new. Xenophobic, nationalistic, right-wing groups, those have always been a thing. The name just changes from time to time. Now it's alt-right. A few years ago it was neo-Nazi. Before that it was just Nazis. At various points in time, it's been the KKK.
Mm.
It's the same thing every time.
A bunch of white males.
Yeah, it's a bunch of white males who don't like anybody who doesn't look and act like them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is fucking ridiculous.
Holy shit, come on. I'm all for getting rid of religion, but this just ain't the right way to do it. At all. Fuck.
Well, most of the alt-right movement in the U.S. is conservative Christians.
I would be surprised if any of them were not Christian of one flavor or another.
It's when you start looking at the ones in Europe where they probably aren't. Most of them probably aren't Christian. since most people in Europe aren't Christian anymore. It's
I think it depends on the country. I mean, UK, the whole Brexit, I mean, everybody there is kind of nominally Christian.
A minority believe in God.
Still, I mean, like, if you're talking like northern countries, totally have no Christians, and fuck, some of them might actually fucking believe in Thor and shit.
And even in the Nordic Odin's countries, on. We've got these neo-Nazi groups popping up.
Yeah.
And I
fucking weird.
It's not a new thing. It's just,
I think it's becoming more socially acceptable again.
I think it's the war on terror.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've had an increase in global religious violence with terrorism and our response to it, and now ISIS, and we've got an increase in refugees coming to Europe and the U.S. from Muslim-majority countries, largely because the countries around where, like, say, around Syria, they can't handle any more refugees. They're full.
Yeah, but, you know, pretty much all of this terrorist shit is because of shit that we've done in their countries.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty much all our fault.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And then, so, yeah, you've got Algerians moving to France because Algeria is a former French colony, so they have easier access there. You've got Pakistanis moving to England for the same reason. You've got all kinds of Muslims, including refugees, moving to Germany, Sweden, Denmark, the U.S. They're breeding more than white people are. For one, they don't have as strong of economies. So, yeah, if your population is growing and there aren't jobs, you're going to go to a place where the population is shrinking and there are jobs. It all makes perfect sense. And for people to just freak out about it and for right-wing movements to grow, it sucks.
Boy.
All right, let's go ahead and move off of that one.
Yeah. Stop bombing people.
Yeah.
Attempting to.
Yeah. Fuck. Although, maybe we could wait till after this next one for that.
Oh, and
the one after note, that.
Those fucking losers, because they've been getting tracked for, like, infiltrated for 8 months, followed by the FBI for 8 months. You fucking morons.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, if you look at what the FBI is actually reporting right now, yeah, they're concerned about terrorism, a huge growing threat of terrorism in the U.S. It's from white people born here.
It's about fucking time that they're calling it terrorism.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway,
yep.
Former U.S. House Speaker and several-time failed GOP presidential primary candidate, Newt Gingrich, had the following to say to pastors in a video he did for the American Renewal Project, a Christian nationalist group. And please note, I did cut the remarks for brevity, but the parts I cut were just not all that helpful.
Okay.
You're at a moment in history that is as defining as anything in the Old Testament. You're at a point where some people have to have the courage to witness for Christ. Some people have to have the courage to stand up and tell the truth to their flock. Some people have to have the courage to get into the public arena themselves. I'm particularly proud of what David has done in developing an entire program nationwide to encourage ministers to run for office. If you go back to the period of the American Revolution, there were a lot of folks who had a theology background who were directly engaged. There were a number of pastors who were directly engaged in the Declaration of Independence and in the shaping and defining of America and the winning of the American Revolution.
I'm going to pause it right there. As someone with a theology degree, I Well, that part's completely irrelevant, because if you look at what was going on back in that time period, most of the schools were theology programs.
Right. So, it was seminaries. If you weren't out fucking on the farm and you actually were able to go to a college, you were getting some theology in there somewhere.
Oh, it was worse than that. Your choices were basically theology, medicine, or law.
Okay.
And if, actually, I don't even know if medicine is really much of an option. So if you weren't a lawyer, like, if you look at scientists, most of them, because at the time they weren't called scientists, they were called natural philosophers, most of them had seminary educations and degrees in theology. Charles Darwin, for example.
Hmm.
That was the education that was available. So if they weren't pastors, they just got the education that was available at the time. So anyway, I'll go ahead and continue with Gingrich.
That this is an unusual time. We have not seen the Judeo-Christian historic traditions threatened the way they are today, ever in American history. You have a chance to turn all this around. And finally, I think you have a duty. You have a duty to have the courage to stand up and tell the truth. Tell the truth about those who would impose a totalitarian secularism on us, force us to bow to the power of the government in order to do things that our religion forbids. You have a duty to tell the truth about those who would kill us in the name of Islamic supremacism. And if you do your duty, you will be part of launching a great awakening that could once again help America.
So we got more of the Muslims are trying to kill us.
Of course. So Gingrich gets paid by this group and gives a speech that they find inviting, that they want to hear. So not really a big surprise there, first of all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Big old dick bag is still a big bag of dicks. Come on. God. I mean, occasionally he said some really progressive things. Well, when it comes to his daughter, who's finally, you know, has a dad like that. But yeah, if it doesn't affect him, he gives zero fucks. And, well, he'll say pretty much whatever you want him to if you pay him enough. So.
Yeah, but. Okay, so totalitarian secularism. That is... Okay, if you really want to... That's code for communist.
Mm.
That's code for saying that atheists are communists. No, the secularists don't want totalitarian secularism. We want a neutral government.
Level playing field.
That's it. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
A level playing field. Yeah, we would like to impose that on everyone. Meaning, government isn't trying to impose religion on anyone. So, yeah, that would be nice. But so he used a little bit of the modern toned down version of saying godless communist. And also went with the... You know, forcing us to bow to the power of government in order to do things that our religious beliefs forbid, like providing your business services regardless of someone's sexual orientation.
Oh, new goodness.
He used a little bit more flowery of language, but yeah, that's saying that. You know, they need to be, that pastors need to be speaking out against people having to bake wedding cakes for customers that walk in their door.
If you want to refuse service because somebody's an asshole, fine. But just because they walk in your door and you don't like what they do outside of your building that has, you know, zero to do with you, pretty much just fucking... Sell your wares and do your business, and and then, you know, fuck, I don't know, just live your life.
Yeah. Yeah. All the people that don't want to have anything to do in their secular duties with a same-sex marriage or same-sex wedding is, well, for one, it's stupid and irrelevant, because if you change the word same-sex to mixed race, it sounds really dirty.
Well, you know what? If you don't like gay sex, don't have it.
But if they wanted to actually be consistent and not take part in providing services for weddings that goes against their religious beliefs, then they should be asking every straight couple that comes in if they've been married before. And if the answer is yes, they should be asking about why they aren't now. And making sure that either it was because the person's previous spouse died or cheated on them. And if you get a different answer, then, yeah, if you're going to deny service because of somebody's, because their lifestyle goes against your religious beliefs, you have to deny those people as well. That's basic consistency.
Goodness, this is awesome. we picked a good week to come back.
Yes. And now Trump. Oh, Trump. Yeah. So, okay, Trump, I'm sure you all watched the video or at least heard the audio, but I'm going to go ahead and play it anyway. I also trimmed this for brevity. But Trump was caught on a live mic in 2005 engaging in what some on the right wing have called locker room banter. People on the left have called it an admission of sexual assault.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and her. She was married.
That's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch. But I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit. In the purple.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, the Donald is good.
Whoa.
Oh, my man.
Yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Grab him by the pussy. All right. Oh, that's fucked hard. And we're not even to the point of the story yet.
Well, those are our sub points. Mm. Those are sub points. So with the big bulk here. So you've got, since this broke, Trump has had something like 15 women accuse him of sexually assaulting them. One who has even managed to pull up witnesses, not necessarily witnesses who saw it, because it was behind closed doors, but people who she talked to the very next day and told about what happened. And in her tell-all about it, she also said that she ran into Melania not too long after that on the street. And Melania's response was that she didn't know that person, so there's no way she would have even recognized her on the street. The woman had a friend with her who remembers that conversation as being very friendly and cordial, and Melania saying, "Oh, why don't we see you anymore?" And unfortunately, this woman didn't say, "Because your husband tried to give me a tonsillectomy with his tongue."
Man, but...
This is what's getting people's attention and anger, not the fact that he's currently facing civil charges for raping a 10-year-old.
Wow. That I hadn't heard about.
That's an active lawsuit.
Right. Well, there was a little snippet of Trump talking to this little girl as she was going up an escalator in some building. And, you know, you can hear him saying, "Yeah, I'm going to date her in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about some little, you know, really young girl. That's really fucking skeevy and gross.
Really?
The only good thing, the only good thing I've heard out of this so far is that as of today, Billy Bush was fired. Mm. Well, let go.
Nice.
He's the one that you can hear laughing in that first mm-hmm. audio clip there. And he is actually a family member of the, excuse me, of the Bushes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Melania kept quiet about this for a while, but she's now actually, she was on Anderson Cooper, we were recording this on Tuesday, last night, so it would have been Monday, and she basically went on to say that all of these women accusing her husband are lying.
Obviously.
And what's hilarious there is she's doing exactly what Trump has been accusing Hillary of. Mm.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. I don't know. Fuck. Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, okay. We've got religious dirtbags coming to Trump's defense. So, first up, we have Pat Robertson. Everybody's favorite living fossil.
Good one. Okay, I like that.
Well, interesting, ladies and gentlemen, what happened. But nevertheless, Trump was the winner. Basically, the pundits were writing him off. I mean, let's face it. A guy does something 11 years ago. There's a conversation in Hollywood where he's trying to look like he's macho. And 11 years after that, they surface it from the Washington Post or whatever, bring it out within 30 days or so of the election. And this is supposed to be the death blow, and everybody writes him off. Okay, he's dead. Now you better get out of the way and let Mike Pence run the campaign. And the Donald says no. But as I say, he's like the Phoenix. They think he's dead. He's come back. And he came back strong. So he won that debate. The next one, we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, he speaks to adoring thousands wherever he goes.
Okay, so I have a quick little tidbit here. Pat Robertson is trying to make this sound like it happened so long ago mm-hmm. and that, you know, he's a different person now. Motherfucker, Donald Trump is 70. This happened 11 years ago. Dude was 59.
Uh-huh.
He is pretty well set in his fucking ways. I don't think he's changed since then.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the same motherfucking orange Cheeto dirtbag.
Yep. And it would be... Okay, it would be... it's especially poignant since he keeps bringing up what Bill Clinton did 20 years ago.
Sure.
And wants everybody to forget what he did 11 years ago?
Sure.
When there's also just the fact that Trump is running for president, Bill Clinton isn't?
I think it's funny that Pat Robertson actually called him the Donald.
Yeah.
Come on, seriously.
Yeah, and the whole part about him winning the debate. I watched this most recent debate, and no, Trump did not win.
The Donald was nowhere near in the running.
No.
No.
Hillary didn't, like, she botched a couple of answers. Trump didn't answer anything.
No, I mean, yeah, sure. Hillary has her. She's a great speaker. I'll give her that. But fucking Trump, man. She might as well have knocked it out the park. And well, right. Yeah. I'm trying to come up with baseball analogies, and I don't do sports ball, so fuck you all. Sorry,
She knocked him out of the park.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what I'm going to go with.
All right.
Yeah. And
fucking sports ball.
But then the fact that Pat Robertson is defending this macho behavior is that's sad. This is the same man who defends or who
That's not macho, that's just fucking sexual assault.
Yeah, he's okay with sexual but Robertson seems to be okay with sexual assault as long as it's within the confines of marriage.
Yeah, apparently he's fine with it not being in the confines of marriage either.
Not normally. Trump. Just
well, I mean, if you're rich and you have power, now, then okay.
He's a terrible sex negative asshole, and no, it's just fine when it's the Donald.
Oh fuck!
Where the hell is this all coming from? Ah, man. All right,
Mr. Cheeto.
Well, if that was bad. Then we have Jesse Lee Peterson, who is a conservative pastor, women's suffrage opponent, and fan of Donald Trump. And sure. Here's his defense.
Every man is guilty now. Every man. And these accusers pull that out at will. They get angry about something. You don't return their call or text. They can just accuse you. Because generation and generation of young girls have been taught to do this. Some amazing stuff happening right before our eyes. And it seems that there's no way to stop it now. Andre, did you know that Satan was called the accuser? That was his primary name. Satan's primary name is the accuser. Just let that sink in.
Actually, it's the adversary. But, you know, that's just actual Hebrew.
And that's what we have in our country now. Accusers. Accusers. So I want to say to the parents out there, fathers and mothers who are trying to raise good, decent boys, you have to change, and it's unfortunate because the boys are not going to like it. They want to feel free. Because a lot of these boys don't think of and are not thinking about sex, and they don't see females as a sex object yet. They just see them as friends. The boys have not been, you know, introduced into sex, or they've not been violated. And they just see male and female. They're going to, you know, school, they're dating, they're going to parties. Just in their minds, they're having a good time, not realizing that the accuser is lurking.
Obviously, it's all the accuser's fault.
That's what has happened in our country. And if Hillary Clinton get in there, that's going to, I mean, imagine where that's going to go with laws and accusers coming out, and it's going to be bad. One thing I've noticed about the women who have these types of heart, they don't mind lying about it. They'll just accuse you. They're mad at you. They don't like you. They disagree. They will make up a story and present it emotionally like it's just so true and I'm just so hurt and I was so violated. And he looked at me and I knew what he wanted. It's a mess. We live in a totally different country now. And Trump is fighting to make it great again.
You know, it's not cool for a guy to, like, fucking eye fuck a lady as she walks by. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Women have been taught to report sexual abuse, sexual assault. And there's a reason why they've been taught that. Because it's fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And you know what? Guys and boys, you know, as they're coming out, boys should fucking learn the same thing, that it's fucking wrong. Why is this news?
yeah, it's,
you know what, consent is pretty fucking awesome.
It really is.
You're like, wait, you really want me to touch you there? All right, let's do this. I don't know, fuck.
Well, and one of the crazy things with it is, like, okay, he's saying that these young boys don't even know about sex yet. Okay, if they're dating, yes, they do.
If they're dating, they probably know more about sex than, well, he does.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, they also already know how to not necessarily know how to, but they already are more than capable of viewing women as sex objects. Just like girls that age are, at least the straight ones, are more than capable of viewing the boys as sex objects.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, they already are doing that. And, yeah, you want to make sure on either side that you're not going to get in trouble, that you're not going to get taken advantage of, or that if you aren't doing something that you can't get accused of it. But if you actually look at the stats, the chances of a woman getting assaulted by a man are how many, many, many orders of magnitude higher than the chances of a false accusation?
Something I've noticed is that, you know, if you're not going to take responsibility for your actions, you're going to blame it on a third party, aka the fucking devil, the accuser. And yeah, why not just take responsibility for your actions, be a big boy, and fucking, you know, not do a thing. And if you are going to fucking be that evil asshole, be like, yeah, I fucking did it.
Oh, this guy's doing something worse than that. He's not saying that the devil's making these boys doing it. He's saying that the girls accusing men of sexual assault are the devil.
Well, that too. Fuck.
That's the worst kind of victim blaming you can do. Oh, god damn. All right. Well, Wesley got pizza in, so we're almost done. Let's go ahead and move on to a nice, happy, awesome topic.
Let's get some warm fuzzies.
Yeah, some science. What is vast and recently got upgraded from 20,000 to 2 trillion?
So what's big? Just what became even way fucking bigger?
Like a couple orders of magnitude? The number of galaxies in the universe!
Holy shit.
Yeah. Based on the Hubble Deep Field photograph, NASA scientists extrapolated the number of galaxies that the seeable universe had, but new research showed that may have been off by about 90%.
Nice.
This isn't surprising since we are talking about the universe.
It's big, like really vasty big.
2 trillion galaxies.
Fuck yeah, man.
Each with billions of stars. Holy shit.
That's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't have the disclaimer at the beginning, but yes, this is an adult podcast, if you haven't noticed.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit.
All right. And let you take this last one.
Former friend of the show, because she, you know, unfriended both of us. Teresa McBain, twice over a guest on our show. The pastor who came out as an atheist a few years ago, found God again.
Yeah, she came out at the American Atheist Convention in 2012.
Yeah, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
I was there.
That was awesome.
It was awesome, yes.
Apparently for the last couple months, she's definitely been a Bible-believing believer.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know, she was actually a part of the clergy project. She was one of the, like, first couple through there, helping religious people get out of their jobs and find new ones. And just, you know, support for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she hasn't even logged into that since, like, December. Or, sorry, last January, I think it was. Mm. So, you know, this is something that I'm guessing has been tooling around her brain for a while.
Well, she ran the clergy project for a while.
Yeah.
She worked for American Atheists for a while. She then worked for the Harvard humanist community for a while.
These all are sounding fairly atheist-y.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she found God again.
I mean, it's what, Christian Light, I think.
Something progressive.
Yeah.
Progressive Christian working, she's a worship leader or something now with the United Methodist Church.
Well, Methodists are still pretty wishy-washy, aren't they?
It's United, so... you've got the gamut from pretty conservative to quite liberal.
Hmm. Yeah. This definitely made me really sad. You know, I know that I don't know where she's living now, but I know that she's been, you know, down in the South a bit, like pretty much all her life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe, you know, threats, maybe it's just that hard to find a job. And, you know, a religious turn atheist turn religious, you know, might make some good money. I don't know. Maybe it's just a genuine thing. And if it is, I wish her luck and I hope that she comes to her senses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it kind of feels really fucked up because one of the things she used to talk about often is when she lost her faith is she lost all of her friends and close acquaintances and all that was gone, and now here she is doing it to herself by erasing all of her old friends, her atheist friends. So that's kind of shitty.
She's becoming what she hated.
Kind of sounds like it, right?
And that's sad. That's always sad to see.
Yeah.
She's not the only prominent atheist from the last couple of years to return to religion, but it's rare. It is so rare.
You know, we talked about this in my local atheist and agnostic group, and you know, one of the members in there's really sweet lady. You know, she's talking about how she could understand the pull that, you know, there's nothing bigger than you, that that sense of community and, you know, a lot of other things. And, you know, I understand that. I mean, I never felt that because I came from the bloody Jesus where she came from the friendly Jesus. So, you know, she had a really tight-knit community. So, you know, maybe that's something that would help a person overlook or get past their actual thinking brain and just go to that emotional side and say, yes, it must be true. I feel it. Just to, you know, be part of that community again.
Yeah.
It gives me a sad. It really does.
Yep.
You know, I got to hang out with her for 4 or 5 days a couple of years ago, which was awesome. Met her like 4 or 5 years ago. That was really neat too. Like, I don't know, within a month, less than a month of when you saw her at a Reason Rally. Yeah. But yeah, shit, you know. Oh, and she gave this wonderful talk up in Seattle, I don't know, about a year ago? About a year ago that Meredith just absolutely fucking fell in love with her there. And, you know, oh man, she's... Yes, we both have lots of feelings about this. It gives us a sad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Hopefully she'll come back to the fold someday and maybe she won't burn bridges, you know, this next time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it. There wasn't really much feedback, so we definitely do appreciate feedback. And if you didn't know, we do have an app. We're also in Google Play Music podcast section.
I like that.
We are in
iTunes and Stitcher.
Stitcher. That's the one I was thinking of, yes.
And it's, hey, you know, help me out here. Help, dude, bro, come on, help me out. Get on Google Play, you know, give us a review. The app, the podcast, that'd be really awesome. iTunes, fucking, you know, star us up. Do that shit.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
And let us know what you
everybody.
Let us know what you think about the new format. If you like it or not, and if you have any questions you want me to answer for Dusting Off the Degree, shoot us an email, contact@atheistnomads.com.
Oh, did we mention at the start that, you know, we're not really going to have too many big interviews, but, you know, we're still going to have guests on the show to, you know, help us with the show?
Yeah, we didn't mention that. So, yes, this yeah, the other big part here, we're separating out interviews and guests. So guests will be people who will just come and join us for normal episodes. You know, we'll get
kind of hoping to have a stable of people that, you know, that kind of join us on a regular basis.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we will still periodically have interviews with people who are either too busy or too big or too specific. Yeah,
if we get Dawkins, we'll tell him, we'll spank his hand and say no Twitter, and still have him on the show.
And with those interviews, depending on the scenario, it'll probably either be something like, you know, 20-30 minute segment within a show and more for patrons. Some of them might just be the full episode. We'll all see. Like we said earlier, we're just going to we're going to go with the flow a bit more.
Yep. So, give us some feedback and let us know what you think. Give us some tips and tricks, and, you know, we might just be doing what you think on the show, so we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, give us a little bit of kind of feedback, a little something. Yeah.
And if you really want to give us something, Patreon.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we'll be back next week.
With more everything.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.